Hello, everyone. Good morning, good afternoon, or good evening, depending on where you're joining us from. Welcome to the School of Mary Live Cenacle Series, and this is the ebook series where we methodically take Reverend Father Joseph Leo Annuzzi's doctoral dissertation and we methodically go through it. And we're going to do that in a moment, but we're going to begin, as we always do, with prayer. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Let us pray. Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Amen. We thank you, most holy Trinity, for enabling us to enter into union with you by means of prayer. May your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Fiat. The School of Mary Invocation. O Mary, Mother of Mercy, Queen of the Divine Will, please teach us to love Jesus and live in the spirit of our vocation more and more, the spirit of faith, hope, and love, the spirit of obedience and of loving the holy will of God, the spirit of chastity, poverty, and humility, the spirit of mercy and apostolic zeal for the salvation of souls, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. Amen. Our Lady, Queen of the Divine Will, please pray for us. Fiat. Name of the Father, of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sorry about that little chuckle, but when I hear, especially those whom the boundless mercy of your divine Son has entrusted to us. That's what he's done. We talk about the cog. He's brought a small group of people, small group of nobodies. And he's asking us to be more intimate with him than ever before, since Adam and Eve. And he's asking us to do that on behalf of all souls, past, present, and future. He wants our cooperation. He does all the work. We, in essence, give our fiat. Our Blessed Lady, the perfect example. In fact, even our catechism states that. Catechism 507 states, quote, "At once virgin and mother, Mary is the symbol and the most perfect realization of the church," end quote. So how can we not emulate our Blessed Mother? But he's brought us here. He's brought us here, and he's got a great sense of humor, as you can tell. I want to start off, before we go into the program, I like to lead off with a couple quotes that really, I think, just put us at ease and make us not so concerned about grabbing every word, because it's difficult. But this is what, I'm going to start off with volume 11, September 25th, 1913. This is our, Louisa states, quote, "Now Blessed Jesus came and told me, my daughter, I had to do this in such a way that sanctity, this gift of living in the divine will, might be easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. It had to be easy and accessible in all conditions, in all circumstances, and in every place." End quote. It's here. We don't have to go looking for it. You don't need the cenacle. It's there. And what does God tell us? Well, what do we have to do? He tells us in volume 23, among other things, of course, November 27th, 1927. Quote, "My daughter, that which is most necessary," I'll repeat that, "my daughter, that which is most necessary in order to obtain a good so great, which is the kingdom of my divine will, is to move God to decide to give my divine will to the creature." End quote. Our job is to move God, to prove to God that we really want this gift. And then as an example, let's go to St. Hannibal. Remember, St. Hannibal, Louisa's confessor, censor for 17 years, also the spiritual director to Melanie Calvert, the seer at Our Lady of La Salette, fully approved apparition of our church. The founder of two orders, the Daughters of Divine Zeal and the Rogationists Fathers. This is what he says in letter 13. Quote, "Know that I no longer occupy myself with almost anything of the other things of my institutes, since I have dedicated myself completely to the great work of the divine will. End quote. So that's a decision a saint made on behalf of the divine will. He could have been a celebrity if he wanted to. Founder of Two Waters, spiritual director to Melanie, Lady La Salette. No, he chose the hidden, the simple, the I had to make this easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. So let's move God. It doesn't take much to move God. Many people are working to move away from God. So it's almost like salmon. Look at salmon, right? We go against the stream. We go against the current. Everything's flowing to the left, in essence. And we have to strive to keep pushing forward to the right against heavy winds, heavy waters, all kinds of obstacles. It's there for us, though. So beautiful. We talked about the cog. It's a great illustration. Jesus talks about this too. Let's just take, for example, this is the cog. This is Jesus. This was Adam and Eve. They were directly connected. They were receiving, and then they were to transmit and distribute to all their children and their children's children. But of course, after the fall, that stopped. I can't stop it though. Wait, there. Jesus didn't stop, but Adam disconnected. Thus, Eve disconnected, and that connection was broken. Now, God wants to reestablish this. Like I said, he's calling us. He says he's calling a small group to be so intimate with him, never before done in the history of mankind. If you want to read more about that, much more articulately said than I can possibly, it's volume 16, February 2nd, 1924. It's a beautiful. Beautiful passage. So please, if you have time, or when you have time, I should say, please read that. The divine will, when we first started, it seemed a bit cloudy, but as we journey, it becomes clear. Father Anuzzi said on Radio Maria one time, he said, the divine will is very difficult to explain in words, but it's very easy to understand once we accept it. End quote. And I think the meaning of that would be when we accept it, when we give our fiat, that's when God gives us the grace and graces to understand this gift. Remember, Jesus calls us the language of heaven. It's not a different vernacular. It's not like French, German, or Tagalog. It's the meanings behind the words. The words are how our Lord and our Lady communicate to us. But the language of heaven is the full breath, the full meaning of it. And everything that's been given to us has a greater meaning. Waiting for our better and greater understanding. And that's why the Article 66 of the Catholic Catechism, which states, although no new public revelations are expected before the glorious return of our Lord, it is for the generations to better understand what has already been given. End quote. So although it's not new, it's going to be new to us and new to many. And the example Father Anuzzi gives in his talk, if you haven't watched it, please, on the front page of our website, Father Anuzzi's retreat in the Philippines in 2013. I think it was in Cebu, not sure. And he talks about, let's say the Catholic Church and everything that it has is a flower. And we've been looking at that flower for 2,000 years. We've memorized it. We know exactly, we can draw it. We know exactly how it looks. Then all of a sudden, the divine will comes, and the divine will is a magnifying glass. Now we take this magnifying glass and we look at that same flower that we've been looking at for 2,000 years. And all of a sudden, voila, we can see so much more. We can see the photosynthesis in the leaves. We can see the fuzz on the petals. We can see the vibrant different colors in the flower that we thought was just one blurred color. All of that was always there, but we just couldn't see it. That's what the divine will does, really, in essence. So as we're journeying, though, the late Archbishop Pacieri, he asked all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. That does not mean we cannot meet without a priest, it does not mean we cannot read, study, ponder, share our thoughts. All of that could be done without a priest. If we have a divine role priest, it's even better. But it doesn't. We don't have to have one. But we do have to have one for those theological questions, for those ambiguities that we may have, those questions that really we need to really solidify the true answer, because it's sort of like a stepping stone for other learnings and other higher levels of what God's going to explain to us. So we need to get that right. So we need to have a priest. Well, it's hard to find a divine priest. In fact, it's hard to find a priest, period, right, these days. But that's going to change, of course. But what we can do is we can use Father Andrews' work, this dissertation, which took him, I think, 16 or 18 years to write. It has abrogation. It has approval by the Gregorian University of Rome, authorized by the Holy See. So in essence, the church has given its stamp of approval. And what is Father done? With the permission of the Archbishop, he's translated all of Luis's writings, because he's well-versed in Italian. He's a theologian as well. He had to translate all the writings. Then he had to give us a summary. And then he had to prove that everything that Luisa and our Blessed Mother wrote was grounded and found in our faith. It had to be Catholic. So he had to give us a summary of what Jesus was saying, what Luisa penned, what our Blessed Mother was saying. He had to give us a summary, and then he drives us into the volumes to take it further to where Jesus wants to open up our paradigm. He wants to expand our capacity so that we can understand more, we can receive more, we can store more. Remember, the soul was created, that void of the soul was created to possess God. So it's infinite. It can be as large as we want, depending on how much of God we want to obtain and retain. So all of that can be done through this dissertation. Now, again, the critical edition of Luis's writings is the next step. That'll be the final, edition of what she said and what it means. It'll also give footnotes. We had the typical edition, which has already gone through the translation, the language, the dialect, all that stuff. That's all been taken care of. That's been issued by the Vatican in Italian. But we don't know when we're going to receive this final version, this critical edition, because the Archbishop warns us and tells us, he said this in 2020, I think, that there's some ambiguities, not problems, not errors with Luisa's writings, but there are certain things that Corrado and those employed by Corrado cannot answer. They cannot present this in a way so it can be given to the faithful. They haven't found that yet. So there's some ambiguities that need to be clarified so it can be presented. So the Archbishop was very clear. He said, also, this could take some time. I think if they ask Father Annuzzi, it's probably already been done, but they haven't asked him yet. So we'll see. God's giving us a great opportunity. He's giving us an opportunity to journey in this gift in faith, really, if you think about it. Because once the church gives its final stamp of approval, I have to believe some of our faith is going to be converted to obedience. We believe it because the church says we should believe it. But right now we're doing it in faith. We have a lot of cooperation too to truly believe this because it is true. That's what's so beautiful. So again, this dissertation, it's available on Father Annuzzi's website. It's also available in an ebook version, which is like 1/3 or 1/4 of the cost. It's not a very expensive book. I think the book costs like $40. Father just charges for what it costs to print the book. But if there's a problem with finances and you really can't afford that right now, but you really like this book, in confidence, just send an email to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org and give us your name. And you would like to receive this book and situation, because we don't have to go into detail. You just can't do it at this time. We'll get you a version. Free of charge. We'll take care of that. So Father Annuzzi wants everybody to have this. Who wants it? Just like our Lord said, this gift is available, easy and accessible to all, unless they did not want it. So again, if you need it and you can't do it, let us know. We'll make it happen. So we're without Maureen today, so I really apologize. You're stuck with my raspy voice today. You don't have that pleasantry of Maureen. But we're on 5.3.7.5, and we're finally on footnote number 300. So I'm going to run through this as best I can. This is this is Cosmic Theology. This is Father Iannuzzi's summary. That's in his dissertation. And then we're going to take now, we're on footnote number 300, and we're going to go into the volumes as Father's driving us in to better understand what he said here. So we'll begin. In Maximus's writings, P.J. Renzi's notes that the divine energy assumes the value of an actualization of resident powers in being. And again, if you don't understand all this, I don't understand it all. But as we read it, as we study, as we pray to God for a better understanding, he gives it to us. Maybe not today, maybe tomorrow, maybe the day after that. But it's going to happen. And the more we read it, the more God, again, we're moving God. We're here tonight. There's other things we could do on a Friday night or a Saturday morning, depending on where you're listening. But we're here. And that's got to move God. So let's try to do that as best we can. An actualization of resonant powers in being and relentlessly pushes these towards a higher thing. Man's not just meant to be man the way we are today, higher thing. Always realizing more, there is more, until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, the universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. This is to restore us to the order, the purpose, and the place for which we were created by God. That prelapsarian era of Adam, to go back to Adam, just before he sinned, that perfect unity, that perfect communion, that perfect union of wills with God. What was that? Okay, until attaining the goal at which this was aiming, the universal divinization of beings, which likewise remains to be accomplished. It's in the process right now. It's here. We don't have to wait for it. It's here right now. It's easy and accessible to all, unless they don't want it, as Jesus says. By this means, God takes them all, along with the all, a unified symphony and a unison of motion. It's inertia. Luisa underscores Maximus's teachings on creation's divinization and unification when she asserts that through man, creation is divinized and restored to the original unity, order, freedom, and harmony it enjoyed before sin. We just talked about that. If Maximus maintains that by the depth of the divine manner of Christ's hypostatic union and the suffering it embraced, he became son of all the ages, under whose rays the world's harvest would gradually ripen toward unity in God. Jesus says that he wants us united, but the only thing that's going to unite us is truth. How can we unite when somebody sees green and somebody sees red? It's hard to bring two groups together like that. We have to be united in truth. There's only one truth, and then unity will happen. Gradually ripen toward unity in God. Luisa maintains that the more the soul that lives in the divine will, the crown, the center of creation, accomplishes its divine acts and rounds, the more it forms many spiritual sons by the virtue of God, the eternal son, whose rays enliven creation and restore it to its primordial beauty. Indeed, creation united to the soul of the redeemed by virtue of its acts of bilocation. God can bring us everything through bilocation. It's not just the bilocation of the saints being in two places at one time. Bringing everything, heaven and earth, together through a bilocation. Discovers in it the same life by which it is animated. Claims it with its love. Remains united to, follows it, and ensures its direct passage from this life to heaven. Luis emphasizes that it is God in the soul and not without the soul who divinizes and reintegrates all things in himself. Beautiful is that? That's 298. I don't know. Is that where we got? I thought we were at 300, but maybe it's 298. Let me just take a quick look. Well, I thought I saw 300. Maybe it's 298. This is all the stuff we've covered under this one. It's 299. I'm really confused. Sorry about that, everyone. I hope you're not getting dizzy with this, too. Maximus and Luisa's cosmology conveys that in the measure in which the human will assimilates the divinization will of Christ, for whom and through with whom all substances in the cosmos are made. The human will invariably penetrates and divinizes these very substances, as noted in the second chapter of the Fiat of Creation Well, yeah, creation is beautiful. Adam gave continuous thanks and loving worship to his Heavenly Father in and through creation, so that resounding throughout the cosmos as the divine echo. Continuous thanks and loving worship in everything. And we can do that at every moment. I mean, that's the impromptu rounds. Everywhere we are, thank you, Lord, for the beautiful sun. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity to drive. Thank you, Lord, for my job. Thank you, Lord, for allowing me to wake up this morning. I mean, we can. There's an unending arsenal of things we can thank our Lord for. And again, we're going to move God by doing that. Of course, if we're sincere. That's an opportunity. God says everything has been created for us to remind us of Him. So we see God in the tree. We don't see God's face in the tree trunk, but we see God in the tree as God's masterpiece. Come divine will, wash in my washing. Come divine will, dry in my dry. Everything we do, we invite our Lord. We move Him to give us this gift. So 299. So that resounding throughout the cosmos as the divine echo. And that's where 299 is. So let's come back down again. And 299 is right around the corner. Okay, here it is. Let me see if I can bring the pointer out so I can perhaps remember where I am. Okay. So this is Father Nuzzi has driven us now into volume 25, December 21st, 1928. Sea of love and the excesses of Jesus. Example of the sea, the divine will, solar ray, which brings the life of heaven, the divine will operating, and the happiness of Jesus. Those are just sort of summarizing the different aspects, the different segments of this next passage. So it begins with the novena of Holy Christmas continues, and continue to hear the nine excesses of the incarnation. My beloved Jesus drew me to himself. And this is Louisa speaking. If anyone has not prayed and read the Christmas novena, you're really missing something. The nine excesses of love. This is Louisa's first thing she penned, and she really did it with the help of God, of course, but she initiated it. Jesus says that she began the Christmas novena with her imagination. And that's what we all need to begin with, our imagination, because our imagination is what we bring forth of what we've taken in, what our memory, intellect, and will has safeguarded, has retained. So we begin with our imagination. Let's call it a active imagination. But then there comes a point in time where because we're finite, we're going to exhaust that. And we're going to hit a level where we cannot go any further. So that's when we have to ask for the grace of God to take our active imagination and now put it into passive gear. It has to now become a passive imagination, now allowing God to take over. It's almost like an autopilot, cruise control. Let God now take over, and He will complete what we've already started. But we have to start the process. Remember, we start the process, it shows an ardent desire. It moves God to give us this gift, and He gives us the grace and graces to do it all on the way. Remember, Jesus says grace anticipates the soul. So if you don't feel like you can do it right now, begin it. And just when you're getting to that point where it's going to be real difficult, God will give you the grace, the means in which to get over that hurdle. Grace anticipates the soul. It's beautiful. Continue to hear the nine excesses of the incarnation. My beloved Jesus drew me to himself and showed me how each excess of his love was a sea without boundaries. And in this sea, gigantic waves rose in which one could see all souls flowing, devoured by these flames, just as the fish flow in the waters of the sea. And the waters of the sea form the life of the fish, the guide, the defense, the food, the bed, the palace of these fish. So much so that if they get out of the sea, they can say our life is ended because we have gone out of our inheritance, the fatherland given to us by our Creator. Think about the analogy that Jesus gives us there about the fish. Water is there. It's everything for the fish. It's the food, the fence, the guide, the bed. Once the fish is out of the water, the fish ceases to exist. It can live a little bit, just like right now. When we exit God's most holy divine will, we cannot live. Adam lost everything, but he didn't actually lose everything. God kept the divine will beating his heart, flowing his blood, and breathing his lungs. Because if God had taken that away, then Adam would have ceased to exist. And if he ceased to exist, there'd be no inheritance, there'd be no children, there'd be no opportunity for redemption, there'd be definitely no opportunity for right now the sanctification. So God had to leave us basically that umbilical cord to keep us alive so that we can be redeemed, we can be sanctified, we can be then divinized to bring us back to the order, the place, and the purpose which were created by God, that prelapsarianism of Adam. So we've gone out of our inheritance, and there's only a certain amount of life left in us outside of God's most holy divine will. Jesus tells us also that right now you're hearing a lot of stories about the nutrients are missing in the soil in most places of the world. Well, God knew 6,000 years we'd be lost, and he gave us enough nutrients for the 6,000 years, not longer. So he said now, the time is now. We're going back to the other side. We're finally going back into the playground that Adam and Eve got kicked out of, and then thus they got kicked out of, we got kicked out of. He says he's only going to bring this once. He's only going to give us this opportunity once. This is everything, though. This is all the devotions. This is everything that God has done. If I can find that passage, that is just startling. It's in volume 14, I believe. But basically, Jesus tells us that everything he's done since the beginning of time has been as its sole purpose to bring us back to the order, place, and purpose. He says everything that's been given throughout the last 6,000 years, let's take the last 2,000 years, himself, the saints, the church, the sacraments he instituted, everything, he says, has been a means, a seed in which to bring us back to our original order, original stature. So again, what happens to a seed? A seed doesn't remain a seed. A seed grows into something. It looks like something totally different than what it began. Everything is a seed. Everything has to move. Everything has to continue to grow. And that's why the church is always going to be moving. Some people want the church to be exactly the way it was or the way it can be today. But it has to keep moving because the church's job is to bring us back to that prelapsarian era of Adam. So until it does that, it's going to be constantly adjusting. It's going to be two steps forward, one step back. But we can't get dismayed because, you know, we're going to get some negative stuff, I think, coming around about our church and about our faith. And we have to remain steadfast. Remember what St. Cyril of Jerusalem said? He said, there's going to come a time when we must flee from the wolves, gather with the sheep, but never leave the church. So we may have to make some difficult decisions. We may have to have some realigning of some of our friends, our coworkers, some of those who maybe will intentionally or unintentionally bring us to the near occasion of sin, those who don't believe, those who speak negatively of the Pope. I mean, all these things we pray that will change, but you know, this is an environment we really cannot be around. God is peace, joy, happiness, contentment, peace. And the other side, the devil's everything the opposite. I mean, look at everything in the world, right? It's happening. It's all an attack against God. Yeah, it's being played out in people, but it's all an attack on God. It's the sex, the family, everything. Boy and girl, no, there's not, but there's a third sex. Nonsense. It's all degrading or attempting to degrade God, to move God out of our life. Remember, everyone's going left. So we have to be like salmon and keep going right. It gets tough sometimes, though. In the same way, these gigantic waves of flames which rose from the sea, these seas of fire, by devouring the creatures, wanted to be the life, the guide, the defense, the food, the bed, the palace, the fatherland of creatures. That's what we're supposed to have. That's the way it was supposed to be. That's the way it's going to be. Jesus says in a nice way, with or without us. But as they go out of this sea of love, all of a sudden they find death. Again, we can only stay alive for so long without that union of wills. God is keeping us alive, sort of like artificially right now. But he's keeping us alive so that we may elect to go back, so that we may desire him to live in the world, but not of the world. And little baby Jesus cries, moans, prays, shouts, and sighs, for he wants no one to go out of these devouring flames of his. These are flames of love. The flame of love is a great devotion to bring us to the divine will, not to stay in the flame of love. All devotions, everything, all religious orders, every religious movement, if it's good, of course, and holy, everything is a route to the divine will. Everyone must end up in the divine will. If you're a Dominican, you must now embrace the divine will. If you're a Franciscan, you must now embrace the divine. Being a Franciscan, being a Dominican, being a Carmelite, it all helped you get to where you are now. But you have to let that go. Jesus even says we have to give up holy things. Let me see if I can find that. I can't find anything this season. I'm so sorry. I was organized. Giving up holy things, that's a really interesting point too, but I want to just touch on it real quick. What time is it? Okay. Volume 17, September 18th, 1924, Jesus speaking. And don't be surprised if you see that they do not understand. For to understand, they would have to dispose themselves to make the greatest sacrifice of all, which is not to give life, even in holy things, to their own will. End quote. And then Our Lady, like a good mother, repeats her son and then gives us a little bit more of an understanding. She says in The Virgin Mary of the Kingdom, day 22, quote, my child, the divine will is intransigent, doesn't change, and desires all, even sacrifices in the holiest things, but always according to the circumstances, end quote. So we're asked to give up holy things, not that we give them up forever, but we give them up so that we may embrace the divine will, because we always search for the greater good. And Jesus says, he gives us a great analogy. He says, if I came to do my own will, my birth, life, death, and resurrection would have only effectuated a change. It would only help a few generations, maybe four, three, old, the young, the in-between. But because I came to do the will of the Father, everything that I did will last for perpetuity and is intended for all souls, past, present, and future. So where's the greater good? The greater good is in the divine will, because again, the dimension that it breaches and broaches, the paradigm shift of being able to effectuate a positive change to all souls, past, present, and future, to mitigate purgatory. And if we live this perfectly and completely, Jesus says to avoid purgatory. Sounds too good to be true. It's our blessed Lord. We either believe it or we don't. I mean, there's no way you can make someone believe this. But you can share it. And like our blessed Lord explained to his apostles, if they listen, you speak. If they don't want to listen, you leave and shake the dust from your sandals. Even St. Hannibal said he shared this with whomever he was moved to do so. He didn't share this with everybody. Whoever he was moved to share with. It's going to happen. But why would we not want to invite our family or our friends, co-workers? But again, they may not want it. They may say no. That's okay. It's not time yet. And that's where you have to, that's what we all have to be really thankful that we, why do we recognize this? How come? Why? Why do we see it and nobody else sees the same thing that we're looking at? But we see it and they don't see it. Not yet. It's not their time yet. God has chosen us for this. He really has. Not that we're special. Remember, he has this affection for the simple. And he says this, I forget what volume that's in, but he talks about his birth. He says, I'm so affectionate toward the shepherds and the poor and the simple that were surrounding me at my birth, that I continued my entire life and all my work endowing them. Sister Faustina, she was shunned because she wasn't very smart. Father Gobi couldn't say a homily properly, so they didn't have him speak much. And God and Our Lady comes to these people. Luisa Picaretta, first grade education. And Jesus speaks to her. Our Lady speaks to her. So God has this affection for the small, for the simple. And that's us. So beautiful. Where was I? Okay. Oh, if the sea had reason, more than tender mother, it would sadly cry over its fish, which are snatched away from its sea, because it feels a life which it possesses and preserves with so much love being snatched away from itself. And with its waves, it would hurl itself at those who dared to snatch away from it so many lives which it possesses and which form its richness, its glory. Creation's fighting back. In essence, when Adam sinned, and Eve, of course, when we say Adam, we mean Adam and Eve, all of creation received the pink slip. They were all laid off. They lost their job. Their job was to remind Adam and Eve of the glory of God. And without that fusion of wills, it was lost. So all of creation lost their job, and they got angry, if they can get angry. And the seas rose, and hurricanes came, and volcanoes, and earthquakes, and tsunamis. And as sin abounds, as sin grows in intensity, so will these natural elements, as per our blessed Lord. And he says there's some really really interesting things that are coming up. And that's why we need to really be living in the divine will as much as we can. If you have Father Nuzzi's dissertation, if you go to page 264, 265, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but this is basically concerning the many chastisements Louisa beheld in mystical visions, visions that purge the earth and purify mankind. Noteworthy, fire will come from the center of the earth, also from the sky. To overwhelm mankind and make him believe that God exists. Fire will strike evildoers. The fire descends upon earth, will damage crops and man's nourishment, will flare up in certain countries, wars. Further purging the earth and man is the sword, which represents further wars, revolutions. The united forces of wind, blood, and fire will spill out of their boundaries to destroy a great part of humanity and bury man. While those who live in the divine will have dominion over these elements. It's a good thing, right? And last but not least, as a result of said chastisements, the Vatican will be shaken in part, but in the end, the nations will turn back to God. Why is there chastisements? To take us back to God. Not because God likes to chastise us. It's like waking somebody up that's sleeping. You start up very gently, right? And you intensify shaking. They don't wake up. Wake up! You know, you throw water on them or do something like that. Something dramatic. God has to wake us up. He has to give us his opportunity. It's now. The divine will is right here. It's everywhere. Remember, we just read that. All circumstances. Available to all. He has to wake us all up so that we can decide. Do we want it? Do we not want it? Very simple question, really. Think about it. Okay, and if the sea does not cry, I cry, Jesus says, in seeing that while my love has devoured all creatures, ungrateful, they do not want to live life in my sea of love. But wriggling free from my flames, they exile themselves from my fatherland, losing the palace, the guide, the defense, the food, the bed, and even the life. How can I not cry? They came out of me. They were created by me. And were devoured by my flames of love, which I had in incarnating myself for love of all creatures. As I hear the nine excesses being narrated to me, the sea of my love swells, it boils, and forming huge waves, it roars so much that it would want to deafen everyone, that they might hear nothing but my moans of love, my cries of sorrow, my repeated sobs, saying, don't make me cry anymore. Let us exchange the kiss of peace. Let us love each other, and we will all be happy, the creator and the creature. Now that last line, this is not me speaking. This is not Louisa speaking. This is our blessed Lord speaking. Don't make me cry anymore. Let us exchange the kiss of peace. Let us love each other. And we will all be happy, the creator and the creature. It's Jesus speaking. Now, first question is, we either believe it's Jesus speaking or we don't believe it. If we don't believe it, I guess there's no point in reading on. But that's Jesus speaking. He's making a promise to us. It should be us reconciling with him, and he's coming to reconcile with us. Let us exchange the kiss of peace. He's offering us the peace pipe, in essence. Let us love each other. He's never stopped loving us. We just stopped loving him. Jesus kept silent, and at that moment, I saw the heavens opened and a ray of light descend from above. It's Louisa speaking. Which, fixing itself upon me, illuminated those who were around me. And my always lovable Jesus resumed his speaking, daughter of my will, this solar ray that fixed itself upon you is my divine will, which brings you the life of heaven into your soul. How beautiful is this solar ray, which not only illuminates you and brings you its life, but whoever draws near you and remains around feels the life of light, because like sun, it expands around and gives to those who surround you the warm kiss of light, of its breath, of its life. Louisa Becerra, first grade education. He said he looked throughout the world in all generations and he could not find a simpler soul than Louisa. Pray for intercession. If you don't have a relic prayer card of Louisa Picadetta, which includes a piece of her clothing, send us an email also to maryshill@queenofthedivinewill.org and give me your mailing address and I'll send you it. Everybody should have a relic card to venerate, to pray. And then you've got the contact information on the back of the card of whom to contact once you experience your miracle. Happening. It's all happening. And I feel happy within you, seeing that my divine will diffuse and begins to beat its way. See the seas of love that you saw are nothing other than my will operating. When my will wants to operate, the seas of my love swell. They boil. They form their gigantic waves, which cry, moan, shout, pray, deafen. On the other hand, when my fiat does not want to operate, the sea of my love is calm. It only murmurs quietly. Its course of joy and of happiness inseparable from it is continuous. I highlighted this, so it must be important. Therefore, you cannot comprehend the joy that I, God, experience, the happiness I, God, feel, and the interest I, God, take in illuminating, in offering my very word, my very heart, to one who occupies himself with making my divine will known. Do we believe that? He's just kidding. That's not really what he means. Nonsense. That's what he means. So if we cannot comprehend the joy, you think that's moving God? I would say in a big way. Did Jesus tell us that that's the most important thing to receive this gift, to move God in order to give the gift? Okay. We know it's the most important. We know it's available to all. We know it's in all situations. We don't have to go anywhere. Remember, Jesus told Louisa, your job is to look like you're doing nothing while you do everything. It's the opposite of the Pharisees. Everything's upside down. I like that. The old doesn't work. What God is bringing to the world cannot fit in old molds, in old frameworks, in old vessels. We have to be the new wineskins because Jesus truly has saved the best wine for last. Better than Cana. This is his champagne. This is God's top of the line, and he's waiting for us. He's waited 6,000 years. He says, everything's in place. We have all the tools we need. All the assets are there. We just need to draw from them. My interest is so great that I envelop him within myself, and I myself overflowing outside of him, I take the floor. And I myself speak about my will operating in my love. Jesus, speak in my speaking. Think in my thinking. God will do that for us. Four things that we need to receive this gift: be in the state of grace, form an ardent desire, have an upright intention, want this for not just ourselves and our family, but for all souls, and ask for the gift. You think that it is your confessor that speaks in these evenings in which he is speaking in public about the nine excesses of my love? It is I who takes this heart in my hand and make him speak. Also, with the nine excesses of love, that's what we learned too, that Jesus wants us to continue to move. Louisa was so enamored with one of the excesses of love, I think it was the sixth excess, that she wanted to stay there. She didn't want to leave. And Jesus says, come on, keep going, keep moving. There's much more I have to give you. Just like in scripture, there's much more I have to tell you, but you're not yet disposed. You're not yet ready for it. Again, explication. Always there. New to us. But while he was saying this, benediction was being given, and Jesus added, daughter, I bless you. Everything is happiness for me when it comes to doing an act of mine over one who possesses my divine will. Because if I bless you, my blessing finds the space in which to place the goods and the effects which my blessing contains. If I love you, my love finds in my fiat within you the space in which to place itself and carry out the life of love. He's talking about the efficacy of what he has, which is never diminished, but our inability to receive it in full, especially when it comes to the Eucharist. Therefore, another underline here. Therefore, each thing I do over you, in you, and with you is a happiness that I feel because I know that a divine will has the place for everything I want to give you. And the virtue of multiplying the goods I give you. Because it is our all doer. And it occupies itself with forming as many lives for as many acts as we do with the creature in whom it reigns. We're going to save this example of explication for next week because we're pretty much out of time. But we did mention this before we go. I appreciate your patience. We did mention that the late Archbishop Cherry asked that all who read these writings be guided by a priest for any theological questions that they may have. Well, Sunday, we're going to have a great opportunity, wonderful opportunity on the 9th, beginning at 1:30 with the Holy Rosary and Adoration. But Father Iannuzzi will be joining us at 2:15, and he'll be with us for about an hour and 15 minutes, and he's going to be taking questions and giving answers. So anyone who has a question regarding the divine will, again, any theological questions you have, and any ambiguities that you need clarification on, anything that's troubling you that you can't sort of figure out, ask the expert, ask Father Iannuzzi. It's available. And that's this Sunday, July 9th, begin at 1:30. If you're not on our mailing list, if you're not receiving emails, just again, send an email to Mary Sill at queenofthedivinewill.org, and we'll make sure that we get those emails out to you. Again, I want to end with something I think is upbeat, but some may think otherwise. This is our Blessed Lord speaking to us. Two quick quotes from Volume 1. We're talking about everything in our life that has happened. We're going to bless and thank God, even those what appeared to be not so good moments in our life. We're going to thank him for allowing us to experience that, his mysterious permissible will. He says in Volume 1, quote, what you have gone through is nothing yet. Prepare yourself for harder trials. That's why I have come to dispose your heart and fortify it. End quote. And then also in volume one, Jesus states, and you, he's talking to each and every one of us, and you, tell me what you want. If you are ready to do what I want, I too shall do what you want. End quote. God's giving us the greatest opportunity to become a humble hero for our family, for our friends, for our enemies, for all souls, past, present, and future. He's called us. He has a wonderful sense of humor. Thanks be to God. Love one another. Be nice to one another. We're going to meet each other very, very soon. And hope to see everyone on Sunday with Father News beginning at 1:30. God bless. Again, thanks be to God. Thank you, Blessed Mother, for your hand in all of this. Love everyone. Okay, bye-bye. Sorry we're without Maureen, but hopefully she'll be with us next week. Bye-bye.